Joe. We're now recording.
Hey, good evening, everyone. Well, just some preliminary remarks. It's just a little bit after six. We'll start momentarily. Is Doris on the phone? Okay. So far, Doris, Tanika, and Tish are not on the phone. Okay, or Victor.
What about Victor?
Victor is on the phone.
I heard
Victor.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to open the meeting, and now it's, I have 6:04. We have a full meeting to conduct. And again, for the record, we have just several people not on yet. Tanika, Doris, and Tish. All other members, as announced, are on the phone. You have before you a copy of the minutes of our last meeting of April 21. It seems like that was just yesterday, but I suppose it was weeks ago. Corrections, deletions, additions to the minutes.
Were the minutes in Board on Track, or were they sent to us electronically?
We're on Board on
Track. All right. I like it.
This is Victor. Yes. With respect to the finance portion,
right.
I would suggest that the second paragraph just have the first line, and that the first line be amended to say several very preliminary budget review scenarios for FY21 were reviewed. And just leave it at that one sentence.
Okay.
Can you send that in writing at the end of the meeting? I'm trying to take the minutes and I can't note everything at the same time.
Not a problem.
Okay, are there any other additions, deletions, corrections? If not, we'll accept a motion made by Patricia Bramwell.
Victor makes the motion.
Or Victor. Okay.
Yeah. And I'll make second, the motion.
And seconded by?
I will second it.
Anybody?
Tyler. Okay, Tyler is seconding the motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
And anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Okay, at this point, we are going to go into executive session.
We need a vote.
Yes. I am inviting to make that motion.
Yeah.
I make the motion to Kevin. Oh.
Okay, no, go ahead, Kev.
Kevin.
I make the motion to go into executive session.
Okay. Is there Cecilia?
Yes, I'll second it.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, and we will talk to you shortly. You what?
Okay.
I move that we return to regular session.
Second it.
Okay. Who was that?
Victor made the motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
At this point, for the general meeting, we have just returned from executive session, and I'm going to ask Mr. Rivera to summarize the proceedings at the meeting.
During the executive session, the board discussed real estate and personnel matters.
Okay. We're now into the regular meeting. We're now back to finance, where we're going to be addressing the topic of the budget. And I believe that Mr. Rivera and Mr. Tishek will conduct that part of it.
Yes. So presented to the board at the moment, it's a budget document that displays two different budget scenarios. It's got a conservative scenario and an aggressive one. The conservative scenario estimates a 690 full-time enrollment. The aggressive one deals with a 710 full-time enrollment. 690 deemed conservative, because those are the numbers generally that we have used in the past. The aggressive scenario deals with 20 additional scholars than for our traditional budget practice in the past. We also have in this document the approved budget from last year for comparison purposes. As Mr. Tishak can explain a little more, we can see that the conservative and the aggressive budget scenarios both come out with net operating losses for the forthcoming year in the event that the PPP funds are not received. The board has had an opportunity, I think, to review this document. It was circulated last week. So I leave it to Mr. Tishak to have, if he has anything that he wants to point out in particular. And then I think the board should raise any questions that it may have about any of the items on the budget itself.
Sounds great. Thank you, Victor. So I'll just start off with the income side, doing them by sections, and then we'll pause for questions, and then we'll roll into the expenses side as well. So right now we're forecasting $10,772,000 per pupil revenue. This is based off of 690 full-time equivalent students at $16,112. That's the number we've got currently from SED as expected per pupil number. There is a possibility that number will go down. And if that number goes down, in order to keep the $10,772,000, we need to have the per pupil go up. So if it goes down, you know, say $100, then we're going to have to make up $69,000 in revenue with additional students. That'd be an additional 5 students or 6 students. That's pretty straightforward. You know, we'll work really hard to continue to keep our enrollment high. We have the ability under the charter to go up to 729 students. But obviously in this, you know, challenging environment, it's hard to predict what that'll be. So we're really focused on keeping historically average enrollment. For special education, we have it at $1,750,000. That's the same as last year. I do anticipate it could be higher than that, based off of this year's income. Though, again, all these numbers are subject to factors beyond our control. I am worried about migration out of New York City, you know, people leaving Brooklyn for other boroughs or leaving for down south, upstate New York. You know, that is a big worry, not that New Beginnings will see a targeted loss in students because of our, you know, perceived quality, but rather Brooklyn is bleeding students, bleeding families. And, you know, that's why those numbers are not higher. I think we'll know a lot more by, say, November, once we've had a chance to get our enrollment really settled in. But right now, I feel pretty comfortable with those conservative numbers. The textbook aid, software aid, those are flat. BYCD after school grant. This was a question that came up last week from some trustees. It is possible that the city will start cutting budget lines beyond what they have right now, so that money could go away, the after school grant. The one, you know, slight benefit is that that's a reimbursable. So we only spend that money. We only get that money when we spend it. So if we spend less money on after school because of whatever cuts they may give us, then it will not be a net loss on the balance book. So it'll simply be a decrease in programming. We do want to keep our programming pretty solid, though, especially with the lower school, which is not covered here. This is the after-school program for middle, grades 6 through 8. But I think after-school will be an important portion of keeping our enrollment strong. Facilities funding should be about flat or maybe slightly higher. And then the real hurt this year, besides the drop-in for pupil funding, is the bullet aid will not be there next year. So we do not anticipate the 131. So we're going to see, we anticipate about a 4.6% decrease year over year in revenue. That's really driving the challenges that we're seeing on revenue. Any questions on that before I move on to? Okay, great. Federal, a little more straightforward. IDA was actually $119,000 this year, so it's been increased slightly. I say health flat there, but it's up a tiny bit. Title I should be around that same number, though, again, these big state aid packages may change that. Title IIA and Title IV are roughly the same. E-rate, also roughly the same, though we may see E-rate jump. A number that's not on there, which, again, in a more aggressive budget may be included, is this COVID Title I money that has been discussed. We have heard there are some, budget scenarios that we've been heard that there may be up to $170 per student in federal monies. Unfortunately, we've not been confirmed on any of those numbers. So what seemed like it was definitely happening before has just not been confirmed. So if it comes through the next week, 2-3 weeks, obviously $120K helps out a lot. And gives us some more federal funding coming through. So we are seeing a slight increase, about 1.6% in federal grants. Any questions on federal? Great. The next two lines, as you guys know, contributions and miscellaneous are smaller. We're not seeing any major changes in there. So just for conservative sake, they've been held flat across the board. Assuming the school continues to do its gala, in the fall, our 10-year gala, we're still in year 10 right now. We may see that bump a little bit with individual donations, but for the sake of this budget, we want to keep it relatively flat. There may be other restricted contributions or unrestricted contributions available in other formats. And Vicky and I have been working on some grants. There may be some additional city money available, which would go up to the first line. The first section through the borough president, but right now it looks like we're seeing about a 4.4% decrease year over year to $14,166,000 total income. Any questions on the income side? Great. So for expenses, what we're seeing is about 3% increase in staffing compensation and about a 2% increase from 24% to 26% of benefits. Again, we think they're going to see higher insurance costs due to the great destabilization of the hospital and the health insurance industry due to COVID. And also, we want to make sure we have a very competitive staffing environment. If we need new staff, we want to make sure it's very competitive. We also want to retain our current staff. Talking to the team, it seems like we have a very high retention sentiment. Obviously, we'll see in the fall what happens, but what we want to be able to do is leverage our, reasonable increases in expenses to ensure that we have a very high retention rate. Therefore, we can keep our most effective staff and therefore have a great academic year. We'll see 3% increases in other lines like general administrative, student recruitment. We've held flat fundraising, and the major increase on that section right there would be about 34% increase for professional services, as we're anticipating seeing a higher rate of expense due to having additional facilities team or modifications to the building. We may need to bring in other staffers to fill in gaps or do additional work online or remote. And we're just sort of looking at the potential expenses. Obviously, if we see massive drops in per pupil allocations, then we need to scale back those different lines appropriately. But looking at the current framework, I think we'll see an increase in professional services as opposed to a decrease in it. Curriculum classroom, about 30% increase would be to move to digital and remote learning. The expenses associated with that, facilities, we may see a large increase in our rent of $471,000. And obviously technology communication, this is the infrastructure pieces, the hardware in the building, the servers, the equipment. We're talking about non-capital expenses that allow us to continue our mission remotely and to be, as we say, ambidextrous between the classroom and the remote instruction. So those increases look about 9% year over year in this model, 16,031,000. And we're seeing about a net deficit of 1,864,000. Again, to remember, we have applied for a PPA loan, and if that is given to us, that should cover this deficit in terms of the actual cash flow, even though we'll have to spend it in the next week. So we think that the expenses in the next couple of weeks covered by that cash flow allows us to run very efficiently, effectively next year. And, you know, if need be, we need to dip into our reserves. We'll do that way as well.
I have two questions. This is Kevin here. Were you done, Nick?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So two questions. One is just conceptually to understand things. It's not about any individual employees. Just I'm looking at the COLA increase under compensation. And is that 3%? I'm sorry, the increase. Is that 3% increase on top of cost of living? Or is that what you've estimated to be the cost of living increase?
Yeah, it's just a net increase in salaries. So, you know, if we keep the same FTE, it would be an average of 3% across the board. It may not actually be that, maybe less on certain or more on other ones. We typically do have different title changes and switches, which may need to move one way or another. If we have some staff attrition, we may have people come in more expensive or less expensive. But yeah, the 3% would cover any COLA and any shifts in positions, or you know, even potentially hiring another staff member for a specific position.
In the loan, in the potential loan that we've applied for, if we are awarded that loan, is there any recommendations around increases or not giving increases at this time, or does it not get a specific?
Yeah, no, the loan is actually for the 8 weeks following getting the loan. So if we got that loan tomorrow,
it would not impact this.
Yeah, the May 15th payroll, the May 30th payroll, the June 15th payroll, that sort of thing. So it's meant to cover current expenses. So what it does is we're anticipating seeing these losses. Therefore, we want to be able to stay in business. And yep. The federal government is essentially incentivizing us not to cut people right now. So yep. In certain circumstances, there would be you cut expenses now, avoid expenses later, and we're hoping to keep all of our staff now and keep all of our staff next year due to the flexibility that cash flow allows us.
Okay. I don't know if others have any questions about that. Can I turn to a question about the curriculum and classroom expenses and the increases in those?
Please.
I've observed that you made a 30% adjustment upwards, and I imagine that's around, and you said in some ways that that's around the technology that will be necessary for us to function in a more malleable type of environment. How did you come to that figure, and sort of what's the analysis that makes you feel comfortable that it should, that it's 350 rather than 500,000, for example?
It's a good question. You know, there's a bit of art as well as science in this. I mean, the challenge with this situation is that we need to be 100% prepared to run a traditional day program out of our building for 180 plus days a year. But we need to have the books, we need to have the workbooks, we have to have the text, we have to have the materials, pencils, paper, all the stuff that we spend money on curriculum, we have to have that ready. Additionally, we need to be able to kind of effortlessly pivot to an online situation where, you know, God forbid there's another COVID wave, which has been predicted in, say, November, be able to go, hey, it's Friday, and, you know, next week we're not having classes in the building, we're having classes online, and now everything that we're doing is pivoting over. So we kind of have to have two sets of curriculum concepts ready. One sort of perfected and modulated for classroom instruction, and the other for remote instruction. Now, the good thing is, not like we throw out all of our textbooks and we just do something completely different. So it's not like, you know, we're using a certain algebra curriculum and we're just going to flip it and get rid of it for online instruction. But there are, you know, different costs associated with the online elements and components, the software, There are maybe remote costs in terms of books and things that we wouldn't normally have. And the idea is just it's going to be marginal. I think 30% is probably a little conservative. It may be more than that. But, you know, the idea is we'll base it off that. And then we do have a pretty astoundingly talented staff. So we can, you know, resource materials for free online. There's a ton of them out there. And we can get best practices. We have been in touch with a lot of colleagues out there. So while 30% is not small increase, I think it could be much higher if we wanted to push it much higher. I think our intuition is to keep it grounded in the existing framework and add to it as opposed to completely, you know, doubling it or, you know, giving a 50% increase. Did that answer your question?
Okay. Yeah, it's helpful. So you said this one, there weren't any explicit direct costs that you looked at. It wasn't as though you've already made an assessment that we'll need to buy more of X or Y, but this is just an anticipation of the full variety of unknowns. Right.
Yeah.
But the one thing that is known is this will cost us more. And that's the same thing that I'm learning at my day job and that we're all learning, right? Okay. That's helpful.
I mean, it's sort of like, you know, think of it like this, like the main resource we're using for online instruction right now is Google Classroom. And we already have a Google platform. We already have it set up, and it doesn't cost us any extra next year. So sort of like the core piece, like how are you getting kids access to this, is free, essentially, compared from this year to last year, next year. However, we kind of see a ballpark figure of about a 30% increase to kind of do this dual-handed, you know, multimodal framework. So whilst maybe kindergarten will be less, it'll be 10%, you know, maybe seventh grade will be 40%, eighth grade will be 40%. So it just really depends on a lot of factors we haven't yet figured out. And as time goes on, we'll definitely have those conversations with the academic committee regarding, you know, how comfortable we feel with moving things. And there's certain programs I think translate beautifully online and other programs that are pretty difficult to replicate from what we do in the building to doing it online. So that's where those cost more money.
Thank you.
Can I just jump in? This is Cecilia. I'm sorry. Just on May 18th at 5:00, there will be an academic committee call. And so hopefully some of these things we'll discuss on the committee to report at the board meeting. And then Nick will have some updates, you know,
absolutely,
whatever, Friday and so forth. So again, you know, maybe we can, you know, kind of answer some of these questions too after, you know, be more prepared for the next board meeting is really what I'm saying.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. And I'm happy to do that. And, you know, these are ballpark estimates for big numbers. And as we kind of dig into every individual one, we have more. So, you know, we're hopeful that these are pretty solid. And they're so resilient, you know, they handle multiple situations and scenarios. This doesn't rely on a specific, you know, good buck, or it doesn't rely on, you know, a complete reinvestment. They're sort of middle of the road ballpark figures that, you know, could be adjusted up or down necessarily.
Right.
What I would like to invite is a motion to, or a resolution to adopt the budget, perhaps led by Victor Rivera, so that we might be able to vote on it. And if there are further questions after the motion, which is the Robert's rules, then obviously we would do that. So, Victor, would you please move forward with the recommendation for the budget?
Sure.
I would have asked somebody else to do it, but I think you should have the honor because you put in a lot of time with Lisa Renee and Nick, you know, in developing it. So I know customarily they would say somebody other than the treasurer, but, you know, I think you've put a lot into
I'm fine with that. I think I do that every year anyway, but I was just wondering if we needed to quickly just check the aggressive scenario as well. For the record, and maybe just have Nick quickly tell us what the difference is. I think people can see and see that many of the line items remain exactly the same, but we have a different bottom number. So perhaps Nick can very quickly, for the record, just tell us how the aggressive budget differs from the conservative one.
So that sort of sky blue aggressive budget is envisioning that we're not going to see as much pain on per pupil. So either the governor's cuts are not as extensive as they appear to be, or we're going to have additional students enrolling beyond what's in the current budget. And as you know, these budgets are always conservative. Generally speaking, we've had above average enrollment. Other schools have seen drops in enrollment. We've always seen increases in enrollment. So, you know, it's just a rosier situation where we're seeing fewer per pupil cuts or higher enrollment. So it doesn't have a fundamentally different concept as the budget we're looking at, but it does envision a rosier situation. And obviously, if we come back in, you know, in the school year and we're re-looking at the budget in October, November, and, you know, it didn't get cut as badly and we get through all the little hurdles of the quarterly cutbacks, we can kind of look at our assumptions and you go, well, great, wow, we thought we were going to be 1.8 million. It was less. That's beautiful. Or if it was about what we thought it would be, we can kind of keep it as is. So, you know, the idea of these budget frameworks is you got to have something to start with, and then it's got to be flexible. So the blue one is harder to flex because it assumes that we have higher revenues. The red one is easier to flex because it assumes we have lower revenues. But obviously, we're really reliant on being able to, access additional capital funds and run deficit next year. Is that what you wanted, Victor?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So if there are no questions from the board with respect to the blue scenario, the more aggressive scenario, then I would move that the board adopt the conservative budget prepared by Nick for consideration of the board. That would be the pinkish scenario shown on the budget sheet that we were shown. So I would so move.
Is there a second to that motion? Do we have a second from someone?
I second. This is Doris.
Okay. Thank you, Doris. Are there any further questions on the proposed budget? Are there any further questions?
No.
No, not questions?
Okay. Three times, like we're having an election. So if there are no further questions, we will now call for the vote. And I think we probably should have it by name. So Vicki, would you mind calling your names out again?
Vicki? I'll do it.
Okay.
Joe Shami.
Yes.
Doris.
Yes. I'm sorry, I was on mute.
Kevin.
Yes.
Pat.
Yes.
Neil.
Yes.
Victor.
Yes.
Tyler.
Yes.
Celia.
Yes.
I believe you lost Tish. Tish is lost. Great. So yeah, so we have everyone. Yes, unanimous.
You missed Tamika.
Tamika, sorry, Tamika.
Oh, Tamika's okay. There. Nice. I didn't know. Okay.
Tamika, what was your vote?
Yeah.
Thank you, Tamika. Sorry for missing you. And then Tish. No, Tish. Great. Yes. So it is unanimous.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry, I was on mute earlier.
Vicki, please make sure that the record shows that at whatever point Tamika joined us, so she's on the call.
Yes.
And that Tish, unfortunately, left us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, are there any other, at this point, are there any public comments? Is there anyone who would like
to? So can I ask, Joe, can we bring up any other, not business, but can I just mention something related to the family life, or is that going to happen at another meeting? It's a 1 minute
thing. Really,
Yeah, we'd really prefer that we conduct all the other business next week, unless it's something that may lead into.
I was hoping for it to happen by next week. So I just want to. I don't think it needs full board consent. It'll take 1 minute. So, unless anyone disagrees, I had spoke to Nick about and to I think Vicky and Elizabeth was that from the board, I thought we should send a letter to families just to remind them that we're here and that we support them and we understand the extraordinary time that they're all going through. So I'm working with Elizabeth. We have bullet points where we will hopefully come up with a letter that I can provide the board next week. It was something I'd hoped to do earlier, but the timing just didn't allow in terms of Elizabeth and I getting together as they were prioritizing working with families, but we got together now. Elizabeth is a member of the team who works with Nick, Vicky, and patients around family engagement, in case you all haven't seen her in a while. And so I just wanted to let you know that's something I'm planning for us to do from family life on behalf of the board. You'll see whatever we whip up, but I just don't want it to be a surprise at the next meeting.
Great. And there's one other tiny item, Vicky, can you share?
Yes. Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. So last week was Teacher Appreciation Week, and a number of students recorded themselves either via audio or video to share their appreciation. And there were so many. But I think a lot of you know Omar, who is a senior. He's graduating this year, and I will miss him dearly. And I wanted to share with you the message that he sent. So I'm going to try to play it on my computer so that you can all hear what he had to say. Let's try this.
Nothing so far, Vicky.
Okay. Well, I'll send it
back. Can you share via email? I think it'd be great for everyone to hear that message.
I'll try that. Thank you. Sorry about that.
Technical difficulties in the age of remote board votes, but that's all good. Okay, I want to just add in, I want to appreciate, just share my note of appreciation to all the trustees and the staff, you know, Vicky, patients, Lucianne, obviously, and also the rest of the staff. We're really dealing with extraordinary circumstances. I've been doing budgets for over 10 years for charter schools in New York City, and this is definitely the strangest one I've ever created, and I just appreciate the support. We will be successful this year. This budget allows us to do that. And we will need to be adaptive, be smart, and be even better than we have been historically. So I think we have the framework to do that. We have the governance to do that, the management to do it. And I just want to thank everyone for your work on this.
Thank you, Nick.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you,
Lisa, Renee, everyone, whoever's there, Vicky, I don't know, but all of you who are making this happen, patience and spirit. Yeah.
I would like to... alert everybody that we do have a meeting next Tuesday. We have a very substantive agenda, and I'm going to just mention to you that we're going to spend some time next week on governance. But to prepare for that, please, please do two things. Go on Board on Track more often than you have, especially since we're all home. And number two, if you're asked to participate in any of the surveys or evaluation processes, to please help us by doing it. That will help Doris get what she is going to talk to us about next week. And we've got some, serious business to conduct, but it's going to be a full meeting. I expect that it will go longer than just the 1 hour.
Will we be able to do something with video so that we could see each other? Is that possible?
We can set it up, yeah, if people are able to access a computer during it. We have links through Google that we can use.
Yeah, that would be great.
All of those systems, that's a great idea. Who knew I would miss seeing all of you, but I do. and I thought the same thing today. We're getting on the phone. I was like, I haven't seen their faces in so long, and not seeing you makes it feel even more unreal that we're not together. So it would be great. And I know that most systems also have a call-in number. So if we have members that don't have a computer, I think they can usually dial in by phone as well.
Great. All right. Thank you, everybody. Joe, we have to.
We need a motion to adjourn made by, whose voice do I hear out there? Cecilia?
Yes, okay.
Seconded by Kevin. Who misses you all, even if it doesn't sound like it.
all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, God bless, and please take care, everybody, so that we can be together 1 week from now.